Wednesday, 6 p.m., was the Day of Atonement, all right, which is a time of cleansing. And the cleansing is only found in the blood of the Messiah, which is the blood of Jesus. So we're cleansed and washed with his blood, all right? And today, from 6 p.m., and from 6 p.m. for a whole week, is celebrated. Is according to the Hebrew calendar, they're celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you may and may have not heard, okay, as many have been going through the book of Revelation in the class, okay, we've been going through the feasts, okay, and there are three major feasts, and we're only going to talk about one of them tonight, today. And the first one is the Feast of Pentecost, sorry, the Feast of Passover. The second one is the Feast of Pentecost. And the third is the Feast of Tabernacles. One takes place in the first month, the second one in the third month, and the last one there, which is the seventh month. Okay? Now, in speaking about the feast, as we share about the feast today, this morning, as we talk about it, one thing that needs to be clear to every single one of us sitting in this room is that all the feasts, first and foremost, point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the feast has been fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. So Jesus has fulfilled all of the feast, but there's one thing that we need to take note of. What begins with Christ must also be experienced by the body. It means the head and the body must all both experience. So what Christ has done, the church now has to experience the same truth, okay? And so I want you to verbalize it down there with me in black, the last sentence there, or the last little paragraph down there. Can you verbalize this with me? Okay, let's go. 1, 2, 3. The church has experienced Passover and Pentecost and has yet to experience tabernacles, which takes place in the book of Revelation. So all the truth, the experienced truth of the Feast of Tabernacles is all found in the book of Hebrews and the book of Tabernacles. Okay? And let me throw this in there because we're covering this in the book of Revelation on Thursday evening. So it's an encouragement for you to come for the class. Amen? Okay, amen. I'll amen it. All right. But the significant today is that today begins at 6 p.m., the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm just going to give some opening statements first before we actually go into what it means prophetically. Now, just one more thing before I move on is that every feast in the Old Testament were to be kept by the Jews, the Israelites, okay? And all of that was types and shadows of the real to come, okay? So right now, as we talk about it, so it was prophetic of what Jesus would come and do. Can you say amen? All right? So even now we see, okay, what is the prophetic truth of what is found in this particular feast? Why is this feast so important? Why is it so significant? And what does it mean to us prophetically? This is what we want to talk about here. And the tabernacles, next slide. Tabernacles, really what it means is dwelling. Okay, so it's the feast of dwelling. Everybody say feast of dwelling. Dwelling. Okay, so I'm going to read Ezekiel 37, verse 27. We find that when God created man, when God created Adam and Eve, he created them so that he would dwell with them. He placed them in the garden, all right, and he would walk with them in the cool of the day. God's heart and desire begins right in Genesis when he created man for his glory to dwell with men, to have fellowship and relationship with mankind. In Ezekiel 37, verse 27, and this thought runs throughout the whole scriptures, but I'm just picking out one here. And it says this in verse 27, my tabernacle also is with them, which means my dwelling, God's presence, okay? My tabernacle also shall be with them. Indeed, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, okay? So what is this saying? Three things. God's going to be our God. Number two, we are his people. And number three, his tabernacle is with us. Amen. Can you remember those three things? So when we talk about the tabernacle, the dwelling, the feast of dwelling, Okay? We know that right from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, God's heart is to dwell with his people. And we find this fulfillment in the last book, which is the book of conclusion, the book of consummation, in the book of Revelation, where we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 and 3. Are you okay? Can you read that with me? Verbalize it with me in 1, 2, and 3. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out from heaven, from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be their God. Is that very similar to what we read in Ezekiel? Okay, so the heart of God and what God's going to do and fulfill as we, as the church experiences this feast that has yet to be fulfilled, because it, the Revelation, the book of Revelation, that's where we talk about the book of Revelation. Okay, God's tabernacle would be with us. All right, in a literal sense. All right, even now we have the presence of God. It's not that we don't have, but Jesus, what we mean is Jesus will physically, literally come back for us. Amen. And so this is the significance. It is pointing and is prophetically pointing to the second coming of Jesus, the gathering of the saint unto the Lord, amen, where we will dwell with him, reign with him, and for eternity we will live with him on in his everlasting kingdom, amen. So this is the idea of tabernacle first, okay? Can you get that? So it is the dwelling of God, and it points to his second coming, and Jesus is coming back soon. Amen. So, you know why we're talking about the Feast of Tabernacle this morning, right? Because according to the Hebrew calendar, it is the day for a whole week. And I want to show you something really quickly here. It's significant, okay? Just so you kind of understand the context a little bit. Okay, so just this is just a little bit of information, okay? So on the left-hand side there is a calendar year from 1 to 12. Can you see that? Okay, and in the second column here, you have the name of the Jewish calendar in Hebrew, right? These are how they call their months, okay? So it begins with number 1 and it goes down to 12, okay? Obviously, the moons, the months are governed by the moon, okay? So just so you know that. Now, the third column here shows us what we call the sacred calendar, which is the calendar that they use for the feast. For any sort of feast and things like that, according to the things of God, they will use this calendar, which has the same name, but just a different order. Okay, and on the fourth column here, you can find the equivalent of where it would fall in our calendar that we used on a day-to-day basis. Okay, and on the last one here, on the last column, is just some of the significant feasts that takes place in those months. What I want to bring your attention here is number 7 here from the left column. It says Nisan. Nisan, can you see that? And it's the first, now it's the 7th month, but in the book of Exodus, God says, this month will now be to you the first month. And this is the month where they celebrate Passover. 50 days after that, which falls on the 3rd month, is Sivan. Okay, so it's the 3rd month in the sacred calendar, but the 9th month in the civil calendar. So when you go down and keep going down, and you go back to the first month in the civil year, you fall on the 7th month of the sacred calendar. So the significance of the 7th month here, what I want to show you is that it has a twofold. Okay, so it's the 7th month, which is the last one, it's 7 complete. Okay, but at the same time, it is the first month of the Hebrew calendar, the normal Hebrew standard civil calendar. And that's the reason why here, in that month, the feast of the 7th month, when we begin the feast of blowing trumpet, they are also celebrating the new year and even the birth or the birthday of this earth, okay, when God created Adam and Eve. Okay, so just so you know why we're actually in the 7th month. And the 7th month falls under September and October. And so this whole Feast of Tabernacles is prophetic to Christ and his church, particularly to the last days and prior and at the very second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay, so Just next slide here, one last bit of information. So the Feast of the Seventh Month has to do with the Second Coming. It has three parts to it. The Feast of Blowing Trumpets, which was on 29th of September. Okay, it speaks of the gathering of the saints unto the Lord. The second one, which was last Tuesday, 6 p.m. to Wednesday, 6 p.m., it's the Day of Atonement. It is the perfection or the perfecting of the church by the power of the blood atonement. The church is going to be cleansed and made ready for Jesus to return. Amen. And the last one here is the Feast of Tabernacles, dwelling or in gathering. The final harvest of soul before Christ comes, and the tabernacle and the dwelling of God with men at his second coming. Amen. So this is an overview of what the seventh month is about, what the Feast of Tabernacle in a nutshell, what it speaks, and it finds fulfillment in the book of Revelation. So I encourage you not to miss the book of Revelation as we study and dive more and more into these things. So what I want to say prophetically as the feast takes place, as it's happening in our midst from 6 p.m. tonight and for a whole week, what is the significance and how does it apply to us, and what is God saying prophetically in all of this? The first one I would like to declare is that we will not miss the times of visitation. Amen. We will not miss the times of visitation. You see, every feast, whether it's Passover or Pentecost or Tabernacles, they were appointments set by God, because in those feasts, Jesus would come and fulfill them. And again, he's coming back to bring completion. So every of these feasts brings us to an appointed time, God's appointed time. Amen. And we're going to look at that next slide here. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. Okay, and see the significance of that. And this is what it means prophetically to us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 to 16, it says this: Then God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give life light on the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule by the day, and the lesser light to rule by night. And he made the stars also. Now, I want you to pay attention to the words in bold. Okay? And we have these things that God, the light that God gives, okay, the lights in the heaven, they are for, everybody say, signs, seasons, days, and years. All right, so the word season here, we tend to think that it's summer, winter, autumn, and spring, right? But that word literally means this. It literally means appointed time, okay? It's literal sense. And that word is used throughout the Old Testament as well to speak of appointed times with God, an appointed meeting, a place of meeting. The tabernacle where they met was at an appointed time. Okay, so when God gives us the sun, the moon, and the stars, especially the moon, because the feasts are governed by the moon, God was giving us appointed times to meet up with him. In fact, if you're interested, okay, the Feast of Passover, when Jesus died, he actually died on the Feast of Passover. When the Feast of Pentecost took place in the book of Acts chapter 2, it actually happened on the day when they celebrate on the Feast of Pentecost. Could it be that when Jesus returns the second time and bringing into completion the Feast of Tabernacles, that he will return and God is giving us a clue of his appointed time? All right, so that's the reason why we do not have to miss, we don't have to be blur, we don't have to be confused, because the Bible is true and God gives us his appointed time. Amen? So God's timing is involved. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 4, it says this: These are the feasts of the Lord, speaking of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Holy convocation, which you shall proclaim at their, everybody say, appointed times. And in the King James Version, it uses the literal word, which says here: These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocation, which ye shall proclaim in their seasons. Can you see that? Seasons and appointed time. All right, so this is what I want you to bring attention here. So what am I saying here? As this feast is going on, what does it mean prophetically? We're not going to miss our times of visitation, and I'm going to declare 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Amen? So I'm going to declare right now that our hearts are being opened, the Spirit of the Lord is moving, and we would declare that we are alert, that we hear, that we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, even right now, in relation to the seasons and the times in which we live in. We thank you, Lord. We receive your understanding to understand the times and to know what we ought to do in the name of Jesus. I declare that Evangel Christian Fellowship knows what to do in the name of Jesus. Our eyes are open, our hearts are open, our ears are open. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are your people, and your sheep shall hear your voice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So going back to the few slides here, so we're talking about we will not miss the times of visitation. Okay, when you read the book of Luke, you see how there were various visitations, all kinds of visitations. So not only, I'm not going to miss the second coming. Okay, you're going to make sure we make it, right? At the trumpet sound, Jesus returns. The dead in Christ will rise first, and those who are alive will meet up with God in the air. Can you say amen? So we will not miss, because when the trumpet sound, we're going to gather, aren't we? So we have to have the ear to hear the trumpet sound, which is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But even in the gospel, you had various visitations, all right? Like Zechariah, the angel appeared to Zechariah, but how do they respond is another story, right? But there were times of visit. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, telling her that she would bear Jesus as a baby, right? Then you have the shepherds. The shepherds, the angels appeared and begin to bring glory. And so they say, let us go and see what's happening in Bethlehem. And they begin to declare things. And Mary heard those things and she pondered those things in her heart. So I wonder, what did the shepherds actually tell Mary that Mary pondered? So there was something that happened. They saw the angels. They had encountered the visitation of angels, of visitations of angels. Can you say amen? And even Simeon, all right? So he says, no, I was waiting for a time of consolation. And finally, he says, I've seen the salvation of God. What about Anna, a woman of prayer? Okay, and finally, when she sees Jesus as a baby and she begins to speak of him. And so these are some of the things that's telling us there are times of visitation, times of angelic visitation, Holy Spirit, God encounter visitation. We are not going to miss it in the name of Jesus. Amen? Amen. In this time, as we look at this feast, it is also a time of progressing. Say a time of progressing. As you understand, we have the three major feasts as it comes under Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Before anybody can experience Tabernacles, we must first experience Passover. What is Passover? Passover is Jesus Christ dying, his blood washing me so that death passes over me. I'm alive and free from sickness, from death, and all that. Amen? It's a Passover. When I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I'm translated from darkness into light. Then I need to experience, the next thing that I need to experience, all right, is the Feast of Pentecost, which is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Is that true? And so what's the next one? Once you experience that, you move on to the seventh month. You want to experience the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? And so I don't want to just stop here. I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I'm just happy here. No, I'm looking for the Feast of Pentecost. When I experience the Feast of Pentecost, the continual infilling of the Holy Spirit, I don't want to be just happy with that. I mean, I'm happy, but I want more, right? Because there is more. So I'm going to move on to the Feast of Tabernacles. I must seek the truth, these truth until we experience it as a church at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So the thing is that is not, that's it. I'm saved. There is more. We're looking forward to this time. So it's a time of progress. Let me take you a little bit here in the Old Testament, very much like the Israelites. First, where did they experience Passover? Can you tell me, where did the Israelites experience Passover? In what country? Egypt. They were in Egypt, and so they had to take a lamb and the Passover and apply the blood on the lintels and on the doors and all that, and the spirit of death passed over the houses that were covered with blood, right? And God took them out from Egypt. Is that true? And they crossed the Red Sea, all right, and so on and so forth. And where did they go after that? Right after being delivered, where did they go? They went to the mountain. What mountain? Mount Sinai, where God gave them the Ten Commandments. How was the Ten Commandments written? It was written by the finger of God. And we know that the finger of God is the Holy Spirit. And it actually happens. By the time they actually reach Mount Sinai and receive the Ten Commandments, it is actually the third month, which is the Feast of Pentecost. And so right there and then, the Israelites experienced their Pentecost. Okay? But the thing is, after that, God, what did God give them? God gave them a promise of the promised land, there where they would dwell, a dwelling place, a permanent place for them to dwell in, right? It was their place, it was to be their home. What happened? In unbelief, what happened? They sent the spies, and the spies came back, ten did not believe, and say, we're going to die, and we should go back to Egypt. But what happened? All right, what happened as a result? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, so the next step after experiencing Passover, Pentecost, is I need to go into the dwelling place, because they could not keep the Feast of Tabernacles without going into the Promised Land. Okay? And so there you find there's a bit of a gap here. For 40 years, they're wandering in the wilderness and they could not make it. So you and I, what does that speak to? We don't want to be like those with an unbelief and cut it short and die in the wilderness and never enter the Promised Land and not get to experience that feast. Amen? But what do we see out of that? We have Joshua and a Caleb generation that said, give us the Promised Land, right? Give us the land, our inheritance and all that. Whether they were old, young, whatever age they were, which we know they were in the older age, they said, we want the mountains. Caleb, ask for the mountains. Amen? So, we declare this morning that in the name of Jesus, there is here the same dimension of spirit that was in Joshua and Caleb seeking and believing God for the promised land, even right now in the name of Jesus, that we are progressing. We are moving forward. We are pressing onwards in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 So we're looking. And you know, when we're looking for it, We want to search the scriptures. We want to hear what God is saying. We will seek the face of the Lord. Is that true? So this is what we're declaring, that you and I will be so hungry to seek all of these truths that are in the scriptures, that only God Himself, only the Holy Spirit will reveal to those who are initiated by Him. Are you initiated by the Holy Spirit? Okay, I choose to believe that I am. I am born again, filled with the Spirit, and that my spirit is connected with the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will not miss the times of visitation. It's a time of preparation, of watchfulness. What does it speak to us prophetically is this in 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians. I'll read 1 Thessalonians on the slide there. Just skip down there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 to 8. And this is what it says concerning you and I, provided we walk in the light. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Oh no, Jesus is coming as a thief. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, everybody say, but you, brethren, are not in darkness. Say, I'm not in darkness. I have been, you say with me, I've been translated from darkness to light. And I walk in the light. I walk in truth. I walk according to God's word. All right? You got to say it and believe it and do it, right? You got to shema the word, right? For the Revelation class people, you know what I'm talking about. But let's continue. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. Can you see? If you're in light, it will not overtake us. But how do I know I'm in the light? If I'm walking in truth, right? So you and I have to have a heart that really genuinely seeks for truth, which is only found in Jesus. Okay? Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Amen? So we're not going to be sleepy, we're not going to slack, we're not backsliding, we're not taking a delay, okay? We're pressing in. We are the watchmen. I mean, we are called as a church here not just to live a casual Christian life, because we are looking for that feast. We're going to be ready. We want to be like the five wise virgin who had enough oil for the second coming. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Amen. All right, so we have already declared that in this feast, the timing is very significant. It points to the second coming. It even points to the church. It's a time of preparation. Now God is building His church. He is preparing you and I. And the spirit of Elijah, if you've heard it throughout the year, how we talked about the spirit of Elijah, John the Baptist came to make ready a people for the Lord. And so there's a John the Baptist company right now that is sounding forth the trumpet. He was a voice crying in the wilderness. So the trumpet voice is going forth to say, be prepared and be ready and turn our hearts to the Father God. Let our hearts be turned to the Lord. Amen. So there's a call that's going out, turning our hearts to the Father God. Amen. So this is happening, and there's a time of preparation. Now, I'm not qualified to really talk about this because I have not gone through it, but I know there are people around me that have been getting married recently. No, recently, okay, one after the other. Let's put it this way. And I understand by association that, okay, because I'm not one, so I have not gone through it, so I can only speak as of one of association, that a wedding or a marriage, a wedding takes time to prepare. All right, it takes a lot of preparation, okay? All right, like I said, I say this out of association, all right? And I believe it to be true. You can see the planning and everything that goes behind. All the preparation, making sure, when the preparations are done, you want the best, don't you? You don't want the least, because it's a significant day. Is that true? So in the same way, it's a time of preparation, and God is preparing us for the best. He's not going to sort of do it half-heartedly. It's going to be a good thing. It's going to be very good, because when He created man, He said, and then He rested, He says, very good. So He's going to be sure when He returns, it is absolutely very, very good. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So it's a time of preparation. The second coming is Jesus Christ coming back for His bride. Say Jesus Christ coming back for His bride. Okay, let's start rhyming a little bit, right? Christ and bride. Okay, no, never mind. Okay, but here Jesus Christ is coming back for His bride. So we're speaking here of a marriage. But this marriage speaks of what? Intimacy. Is that true? So now it is prophetic of intimacy with God. And I think these are the things that we have heard as a theme from the beginning of the year. It's a year of increase, a year of intimacy, and outpouring of the Holy Spirit for the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so God is taking us right now into a time of preparation and of intimacy to be one and united and to commune with Him. All right. And as the Holy Spirit teaches us as we go day by day. Amen. Amen. Say one more time with me, I will not miss the time of visitation. Okay, point number two here, the last slide. We've got two and three. The Feast of Tabernacles was a time of rejoicing before the Lord. And they were to rejoice for 7 days. I'm going to repeat that again. The Feast of Tabernacles was not one of mourning or anything like that. It was a time of rejoicing, a time of celebration before the Lord. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 23. It's a time of rejoicing before the Lord 7 days. 7 days. All right, it speaks of rejoicing, worship, rejoicing, praising. And remember that tabernacles has to do with what? Dwelling, the presence of God. As we worship in spirit and in truth, the presence of God, He's here with us. Everybody say, it's a time of rejoicing. So if we have not been rejoicing, say, it's a time of rejoicing. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God is restoring joy. It's going to be worship. You see, I don't know about you, but I'm sure you can identify what I'm saying, but let's go back to around September, just before we started the 29th of September and all these things that are happening. God was already doing something because it could feel in our worship services, it is different. It is different. I really sense that it was I could remember a particular weeks when it really, you could really tangibly begin to sense it, and there was a shift. And you can see that God right now is, you know, we are to rejoice before the Lord. We are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And you know, if we're someone who don't like worship, you know, now I'm going to, we declare that in the name of Jesus, God is just going to pour out His Spirit right now. And the worship from the heart, worship in spirit and in truth in Jesus' name. Let there be a release and a download in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, we just thank You, God, because You're restoring the tabernacle of David. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the Father is looking for such who will worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We thank You that we come before You through the blood of Jesus, and we worship You, God. We worship the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We talk about worship. In John chapter 4, Jesus says, you know, the woman said to Jesus, the Samaritan woman says, some say the place of worship is in Jerusalem, some say it's on this mountain. And Jesus says it's no longer in this place or in that place or on that mountain or anywhere else, but it is a place in the Spirit, right? Those who worship in spirit and in truth. Let God open what it really means to worship Him. Amen. 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 And I think there's, I think it would be another message in itself to just talk about the area of worship, but I just believe that God has begun something. And if you don't feel anything, all right, because how many know that we can all be in one place and you realize, why is one person like, wow, worshiping, and the other person is like, I don't feel any difference. Do you think it's possible? I think it's possible. All right. So the thing is, the key is we got to connect with our spirit, all right? We got to engage with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, if our mind's running around everywhere and anxiety and all kinds of things, we miss out. We can be in the same physical place. That's why worship is not just it's not just in a physical place, though there is the tangible presence of the Lord. But what I'm saying is we got to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the last one here I want to say is this. The Feast of Tabernacle was a time of the fruit harvest. The fruit harvest. See, prior to the seventh month, they have a dry period, no rain. And on the seventh month, you know, there's the latter rain. And it speaks of and they had to harvest, bring in the fruits, the harvest, the great harvest. And it really speaks and it points to a final, a great gathering of souls, winning, soul winning, a harvest of soul. And we want to declare this in this church. You know, even, you know, I talk about the shift in worship. I also, I can't remember exactly when, maybe about 3 weeks ago, you know, I've been very conscious of what, you know, the heart, you know, to see what needs to, what dimension our church needs to press in more, which is in the era of soul winning. Isn't that true? Okay, we heard from our pastor, we got to be a soul winner. And so for a period of time now, I've been very conscious about this. I mean, I got to do something. I mean, I can't just be hearing and doing nothing about it. All right? And so about maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, you know, I really felt, we went out tracting and I always make sure now I've got to always walk with tracks with me. All right, always walk with tracks so that, and I make it a point that everywhere I go, I at least will give one track or talk to someone or pray for someone. And I really feel at this time that, you know, I just think it's only beginning only. But I'm just saying is, you know, it right now in this feast, we're going to activate the soul winning spirit. Amen. I really felt like I went out with the children in Armadale. We went tracting. And there we went to this Harmony. There's a Harmony Church there, which is an indigenous church, And we just went there. We went there with Pastor Joseph before. And I just thought, oh, as we track, let's just go by and say hello, you know. So we went in, and one of the people there, a lady, saw us with the tracts in our hands and said, oh, what are you doing? Are you tracting? I said, yeah, we're tracting. And so we went out. She said, oh, can I join you? I said, by all means, come and join us. And so after chatting for a little bit and met up with the pastor, so we began to walk out. And we just began to go to the train station, and we just went around and began to, you know, give tracts to people. And it was so easy. It was just flowing. Like, you know, sometimes we think, what if they say no, and what if this, and what if they have reaction, which, I mean, they can take it or reject it, right? But for that particular day for me, it was like, wow, we prayed for so many people, and so many people were willing to listen. Some were already Christians, some were not, some were seeking direction, and all kinds of things, you know? And that lady, she's, because she knows the place, she's a local, I guess. I mean local. What I mean is, that's her domain. And so she could so talk to the people, you know. And you know, we heard funny comments like this, because she was indigenous, and all of us were yellow looking people. And one of the people said, what did he say, Daniel? How come you're the only black person or something like that, or out with them, you know, kind of saying, you know, all these, why are you walking with such people? You know, so even though all these things are happening, but I'm telling you, we were just praying for people, giving tracts. And from that period onwards, you know, I mean, I've been trying to do that even prior to that. But I feel there is a grace right now to just, okay, just give a tract, you know. And, you know, when I go pick up someone and I try and see even McDonald's car park, sometimes I'll park there and I'm waiting for my food, or I'm just eating there waiting. I just open the window and say, the next person is eating, is going to say, hey, you would like to have something to read, you know? I said, this is car park ministry. So, but the guy was a Christian. He was he's a Burmese guy. But I don't know. I mean, I want to see souls. That's one of my desires, to be a soul winner. And so I'm praying, God, I don't know how to do it, but I will just at least start by giving tracts. But I want to activate and declare that this is from the Lord, not from me, that let the release of soul winning be activated in the name of Jesus. Lord, we receive from you the Holy Spirit, the boldness to be a witness, and the wit to be a witness and to be a soul winning, because we know there's a great harvest of soul right before you come. And we want to be part of this, Lord. We want to be a part. We want to be a sower. We want to be a participator. We want to engage with what you are doing, Lord. And also I declare that signs and wonders and miracles will flow as we go out to witness, as we go out and share the gospel. Signs and wonders shall follow. I believe it. We believe it as a church, because your word says so. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you thanks and glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Thank you. Let's give thanks to the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me say this in conclusion. Let me verbalize the 3 points, and then let me make a final statement and we close. Number one, in this season of time, this Feast of Tabernacles speaks prophetically that we will not miss the times of visitation. Amen. Amen. I'm going to look for God encounters. I'm going to look for God encounters. And one last thought. This is the final thought that comes to me even right now. Is that we're going to be like Abraham. I want to be like Abraham. He's a man of faith. Amen. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he left everything, and he was looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. As we are saying, we want to experience this feast of tabernacles. We want to experience that feast. We're going to be like Abraham, looking for that great city, the New Jerusalem. Amen. That's found in the book of Revelation. I want to experience it. Lord, we thank you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to press on for the new city. We're going to press on to see it fulfilled and realized in our lives. Amen. Number two, it's a time of rejoicing before the Lord. 7 days. Amen. And the last one, say with me, it's a fruit harvest. It's a great harvest of soul. We declare in evangel, many souls are coming in. Those that are being sent by the Lord. Those who are being sent by the Lord, who are hungry in the name of Jesus, to be all, who are thirsty to love you and to serve the Lord in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I declare that you're sending the right people, the right desires, with the right motives in the name of Jesus, right skills in Jesus' name to build your church, to co-labor with you, and to extend your everlasting kingdom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. Let's praise the Lord one more time. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Shandrama karabasikiataraba. Just pray in the Spirit for just a moment. Mangar bab gebrander bab gebrandi mandi agra blase ye shepiaha mandi agra brasata daba mandi agra brander daba mandi agra makharangaraba yo shole meseme prendan mante ke fare ye shala basam branda mandi agra brasapra tagraba mondi piatagra gebrander daba Bobro prepe sheke petiando Lom sim sim shim kishifara Mandi fore halamasi and doruko brandaraba Mandi arobo sapratarba brandaruba Mandi piata roko poshia rubra satara Yandi vishiviza brandaraba In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
John chapter 1 tells us that when Jesus, when the Word became flesh, He came to His own did not receive Him. But to them who received Him, He gave them the right to become children of God. Hallelujah. We just declare once again that the Word is becoming flesh. The Word, Jesus, is coming back. We will not miss it. We have a receptive. I have a receptive heart. My heart is open. My heart is hungry. I am thirsty, Lord. I desire. I look up to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. So I'd like to just say, if anyone has pain in the shoulder on this side here, and the right wrist, or and the right, whichever, we want to pray. We declare healing over you right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. If you have any pain here, right here, in this corner here, right, in the name of Jesus, or the wrist, right wrist, I believe, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we just declare right now, Lord, your divine healing. Divine touch right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for resurrection life. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.